Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock here this afternoon here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll be able to stick with us and join in the conversation here. And we've got our telephone lines open. You can call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you today. Let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you so much again for the opportunity to be on the air today. Bless the program. Use us for your glory. Help us be a blessing to somebody today. Help us to point people to Christ. Thank you for a beautiful day that you've given us today. And thank you for the opportunity we have to reach out. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good to be with you, and enjoyed the program, Pastor Lutz, just before. I listened to that driving up to the station here. Always a good program, and he'll probably be filling in for me again, I think, maybe toward the end of July, but we'll talk more about that later. But today, I wanted to touch on a couple of things, and before I get into it, just a reminder that you can go to our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can listen to past programs. You can listen to our Sunday night program. We're on from 11 until midnight every Sunday night here in this station. And you can also follow the links to our church website, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. Find out more about our church. Find out more about me. And about our program here. You can also link to our Facebook page. We're on Facebook at Live with Pastor Al, and you can link to there from our homepage as well, livewithpastoral.com. Well, I'm going to get into a couple things here this afternoon while we get started. And again, as always, you're welcome to call 888-677-9673. I was enjoying pizza yesterday at our sponsor, East Coast Pizza over in Garfield Heights. If you've heard me mention them before, you can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And if you're if you like pizza, it's one of the best pizzas around. You can call them for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. That's 216-341-9100, East Coast Pizza, located on 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. But getting back to it, I was eating pizza, and there was a gentleman that was there that I got to talk to, and he asked me a question. Gus, the owner there, had mentioned that I do a radio program where we ask Bible questions. People ask Bible questions. And so the guy gave me a question. And right away, I realized this was a question that he had been thinking about for a while, because he had all the verses memorized. He had all the details memorized and was able to give me that information real quickly. And so he wanted to know. He said he'd been searching for a number of years trying to figure out how to resolve it. And so I said, well, the Bible is true. It's the Word of God, and it's going to be without error. So the difficulty in understanding it is probably going to have something to do with either the math or with the wording or something like that. So this is where we started. We started in the book of Acts chapter 7. And let me turn there real quick. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen is giving his testimony before the high priest. And he says this right here, starting in verse 2. Men and brethren, fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran. And that's Haran in the Old Testament, just a variant spelling here. And he said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall shew thee. And then it says in verse 4, this is Acts 7, verse 4, then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran, And from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein ye now dwell. So the question is, if Abraham left Haran when his father died, how old was Abraham when he left? How old was the father when he died? And without going through all the details, it basically comes down to he found a discrepancy that he believed had of 60 years where the Bible is off. And I said, well, I don't think the Bible's off. We have to take a close look at this. And so that's what we're going to look at here a little bit today. In Genesis chapter 11, okay, in Genesis chapter 11 and verse number 26, this is what we read in the Bible. It says, and Terah lived, and Terah is the father of Abraham, and Terah lived 70 years and begat Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. Now, the question was, if he was 70 when Abram was born, and then it says later on at the end of chapter 11 here, Genesis 11, verse 32, and the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now, this seems to be a bit of a problem here. That would mean that Abraham would have been 135 years old when his father died. But here over in, and that would be when he left Haran. But in chapter 12, okay, in chapter 12, in verse number 4, it says, so Abraham departed, or Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Now, 75 here, according to Genesis chapter 12, verse number 4, versus what looks like he should have been 135, okay? If Terah lived to be 205 years old and Abram was born when Terah was 70, that gives us a discrepancy here. And that's where the 60 years comes in. Now, this is a question that comes up. Now, remember, Abram and Abraham are the same person. Abram later had his name changed by God to Abraham. And so if I say Abram or Abraham, I'm talking about the same thing. So here's the question then. How do you resolve this discrepancy? How do you reconcile this? Is it wrong? Or, as I said, are we reading some of these things wrong? Well, I believe that the Bible says that Abram departed from Haran after his father died. Now, I was first looking at this and thinking, well, maybe this was when he took up residence in the promised land in Canaan on a permanent basis, because when he left Haran, he went through Canaan, he dropped down to Egypt later, he spent some time in Egypt, went back to Canaan, went into Philistia for a while, he wandered around, and it was a little while before he took up permanent residence in Canaan. And that's not a satisfactory answer. I looked into this more. And as I looked into this and looked at some people's thoughts on this and praying about it, and here's basically what I believe happened. Abraham departed Haran after his father died, just like Stephen said in Acts chapter 7. And not only that, he left here when he was 75 years old, like the Bible says in Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 4. Now, what do we do with Terah then? Some people said, well, the age of Terah at 205 years is actually wrong, and he was much younger than that. But here's how we need to look at this. We need to be careful when we read Scripture, and sometimes we read into things that aren't there. It says here in Genesis chapter 11 and verse number, in verse number 27 that it says, these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abraham, Nahor, Haran, and Haran begat Lot. So there's a list there, Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. And we, from our Western mindset, tend to read these lists as oldest to youngest. And it's not necessarily so. Let me go back up to the verse before that, verse 26. And Terah lived 70 years and begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. So Abram again is listed first. But Abram is listed first, not because he's the oldest, but because he is the messianic line. And you can see this in other instances here. In Genesis chapter 5, it gives Noah's age and how he became the father or begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. But Shem's not the oldest, but Shem is the one of the messianic line. And there's other examples of that in Scripture. But let me work through this here, looking at it from another angle here. And there's a lesson from Terah's sons here. Terah, apparently, had lived in Haran previously, it's believed, and it was probably named after his oldest son, Haran. And this is probably the oldest son because, after all, Nahor was married. Let me find my place here. I'm going to get my eyes crossed and look at the wrong passage here. Terah was 70 years old when he became a father, okay? He had no children before this. Abram was traveling with Lot because Lot's father, Haran, had died, according to Genesis chapter 11 here in verse number 27. Haran begat Lot, and then it says in verse 28, and Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity in Ur of the Chaldees. So Haran has died, and Lot is already a young man, and he travels there in chapter 12, in verse number 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And so they have this here. We see that Nahor had married Haran's daughter. So Haran probably was the oldest brother. Here, Genesis chapter 11, verse 29 says, and Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and the father of Iscah. So Nahor married his niece, Haran's daughter. And when we look at this, we see then that Haran was the oldest. Abram is listed because he's in the messianic tradition. So Abram would have actually been born when Terah was 130 years old, which would make him 75 years old when he left Haran, when his father Terah died. And that certainly fits in with the explanations where Stephen said that he left when his father died, where we see that Terah was 70 years old before he began having children. Abram was born after Terah was 70 years old. Likewise, Nahor and Haran were born after Terah was 70 years old. So Terah would have been, you subtract the years from 205, which makes Terah 130. When Abram was born, makes Abram 75 years old when he left, and it makes his father 205 years old when he died in Haran. No discrepancy here. The Word of God is not in error on this point, and it supports what happened in history, and so there's a resolution to that problem. As like I said, these problems have resolutions if you take the time to look at them. And this is important because there are people who have pointed to this and say, this is a discrepancy. This is a error. This is a contradiction in the Scripture. And so if this is wrong, then other parts can't be wrong. But it clears up very clearly when you understand that the Bible does not say that Terah gave birth to Abram when he was, or fathered Abraham when he was 70 years old. It just says that Abram was born after Terah was 70, and the Bible indicates that Haran was the firstborn, and Abram possibly was the second or the youngest, but certainly born after Terah was 70 years old. Well, I hope that helps clear up that question there. We're going to get to our callers, our phone number, 888-677-9673. We've got Nancy waiting patiently for us. Nancy, welcome to the program this afternoon.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al, for taking my call. Just curious, did you happen to hear a gentleman on Southwest Radio Church this week talking about numerous Muslims getting saved. Did you happen to hear about it?
I did not hear that program myself, but it is happening. There are a lot of Muslims.
Let me just finish my point. Excuse me. He went on and on. You know, he talked about so many Muslims were coming to Christ, but then he said so many really nice things about the Muslims in general, that they're a good family people, which I'm sure many of them are. And he just said that all they want is a safe place to live, and they want to, you know, carry out their faith. But the more I listen to him talk, and I hope you don't think I'm coming up with my own conspiracy theory. I just want to know your take. He kept saying, you know, what wonderful people they are and how they contributed so much to society and the traditions and just this and that. And then at the end, the moderator, I think his name is Larry Spartamino, I think that's
right.
How it came about. He said, and how do you feel about the Syrian refugees coming to this country? And he was totally in favor of it. He said, oh, this would be a wonderful opportunity, which I see, a wonderful opportunity for many Muslims to come to Christ, because we wouldn't have to go, you know, witness to them. They would be here. But he said nothing at all about the danger of some of them being radical Islamic terrorists, or the burden to this country. So many other, you know, immigrants have come in, you know, many of them illegally, as you know, but just totally in favor of that. And it just sounded like Obama. I don't know if you heard that speech Obama gave about how wonderful the Muslims are and how much they contributed to society, and just minimalizing any kind of dangers that they do or any kind of terrorist activity. I just want to know your thought on that. Do you think that this man could possibly secretly be a representative of CARE, you know, the Council of American Islamic Relations, trying to promote the idea of the Syrian in a very sneaky way, you know, the Syrian refugees coming to this country? I just want to know your take on that.
Yeah, and
it sounded an awful lot like that to me. I'm sorry.
Yeah, one of the things that I learned, I didn't know the term, but when I was in the Air Force, one of the things that I learned about Islam is that it's more than permissible. It's actually in the Quran. It's Islamic doctrine to be able to lie and deceive the enemy. In order to further the cause of Islam, okay?
Taqiyya
is one term. The other term is kitman, I believe. And these are actually Islamic doctrines, practices, and you know, the quickest or easiest way to understand who an infidel is or who the enemy is if you're not a Muslim, you're an infidel. That's all there is to it. And then, of course, as I point out, other people have pointed out, the biggest killer of Muslims is other Muslims, because you get the big rift between the Shiite and the Sunni Muslims. And so if you're a Sunni Muslim, you can certainly employ kitman or taqiyya against the Sunni or Shiite Muslims, because they're apostates. But anyway, so using this in order to further the cause of Islam is perfectly permissible. In fact, it's condoned in the Quran and the Hadith and things like that. But what I'm saying about that is you have people who will come in and try to promote certain things. And I did not hear the program, but you explained a lot of it, I think, pretty good. I remember when I was in the Air Force that there were cases where, for instance, Yasser Arafat would to the Western media and when he was in America and places like that, claim that he was all for peace, he was all for living peacefully with the Jewish neighbors and they just wanted their own state and all that. And then he would return to the West Bank, and in Arabic, and we knew that he was doing this, he would say to the Muslim audience in Arabic in the West Bank, pay no attention what I said to the kafir, to the infidels. That was just for their consumption. We want to destroy Israel and remove all the Jews from the land. We want to push them into the sea. And so it was clear that everything that he was saying when he came over here was just taqiyya and kitman. It was lies. It was deception. It was duplicity. And we see the same thing happening with CARE, for instance, the Council on Arab-Islamic Relations. It's an arm of the Muslim Brotherhood that was set up basically to make Islam seem like it's a wonderful thing that should be embraced and welcomed by the people of America. And
yes, I'm very familiar with that.
Yeah, and so, but yet the Muslim Brotherhood is a I use the term radical, but really it's a fundamental Islamic belief that they're motivated by. They want to extend Sharia law over the United States of America. They want America to be dominated, not just dominated, but totally Islamic. That's their goal.
Exactly.
They have a plan.
Yes.
You can find that online, Act for America website. I think it's actforamerica.com. They have a lot of good information on that. But what I was going to say is, too, that the majority of Muslims, see, there's always a bit of truth in things that are said to make lies more believable. Majority of Muslims really are quite peaceful people, and I've known and talked with and met a number of them. But see, the majority of Muslims are like the majority of professing Christians. They're Muslim in name only. Do you see what I'm saying? There's a lot of people who call themselves Christians. They don't read their Bibles much. They go to church maybe at Christmas time or Easter or maybe some special day or something. They want a priest or a pastor there when there's a wedding or a funeral to be taken care of. In a sense, you could say culturally Christian. And Muslims are the same way. You know, if you survey, even in good churches, if you survey a lot of people, you'll find out that most people haven't read their Bible in the last week. Most people really don't even know what their church believes. And, they have some general ideas. And so a lot of times what happens is people read the Quran for the first time who are Muslims, and they're shocked with what they find. And a number of people have become Christians from reading the Quran I've read. Because they're so shocked at what they see. There's really no love, in the Bible. We know for God so loved the world. He loved us before we loved him. Uh-huh. He loved us while we were yet in our sin. The only love that Allah has portrayed in the Quran is when you please him, when you do something to please him. Other than that, Allah's always angry, needs appeasing. And I guess what I'm getting at is a lot of Muslims really don't know, and so they're very nice people and all that, but for the segment of the Muslim population that reads the Quran and believes the Quran and understands the Quran and practices the Quran, that's where you get into the people who make up the people like the guy that shot up the nightclub down in Florida. That's where you get the people that flew the airplanes into the Twin Towers on September 11, 2001. That's where you get the people who flock to the Islamic State and things like that. And everything is based on a literal interpretation of the Quran. So, but they also understand that, the old adage, you catch more flies with honey than you do vinegar. And they also have people who are using other methods to try to make Islam seem like there's no threat in it. Those people that do that, well, they're an aberration. They're misinterpreting the Quran. They're misinterpreting Islam. Islam means peace. Islam doesn't mean peace. Islam means submission. Yes. It's submission to
Obama
Allah.
Obama says that all the time.
Islam means submission. And a Muslim is one who has submitted. That's the key there. And so when you see this, we understand that there's a cultural jihad where they're trying to overcome any fears that people in America might have of the religion of Islam. Using that as a way to keep us off guard. Because they have an eventual plan. The Muslim Brotherhood has a plan that was discovered, and part of the plan was making Islam seem acceptable. The current Pope is going a long way to helping further that cause as well. I see we're coming out of time here, but I just want to mention, I've got some information on this on our website at livewithpastoral.com. You can go there. There's some articles there and some programs that we've done on that in the past. So I encourage people to go there. But don't hate the Muslim people. Pray for the Muslim people. Our job as Christians is to reach them with the gospel. That's the real cure for the terrorism that we see, is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks for calling. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.